Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you all, and welcome once again to Elevated Places. This is the 20th day of November 2014, and of course, as directed by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, watch the weather. There is no state in the Union that is not being affected by the cold fronts blowing through. We know that, as we are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that every act of nature is a result of the active will of God. And so this is a signal that he is not very pleased right now. I would imagine that one of the things bringing him displeasure are the wicked plans for our people, particularly our youth, in Ferguson, outside of St. Louis in Missouri, that the enemies of our liberation, rather than following the most basic fundamental due process and acting as they normally would in any criminal action and simply bring charges, all that's needed is probable cause. Rather than do that, this special prosecutor who has a serious conflict of interest would rather call a lengthy, protracted grand jury session. And now, of course, word is coming out as to what we already knew, that we should probably expect a no bill or no indictment. And so the National Guard and all of the police, all the various arms of the U.S. military are prepared to make war on us. We're going to talk more about that this evening. We're going to have one of the nation's illustrious attorneys, Sister Pamela Muhammad, on to talk about that. Now, also, here's the big news. And by the way, 347-324-5091 is the number to call in. And of course, log in, blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And let me not forget that I am joined by my wonderful, brilliant co-host, who in a very short period of time helped to make tonight, I can tell you in advance, it's going to be an incredible program tonight. And of course, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, our student minister of agriculture and Elevated Places analyst and contributor. Assalamu alaikum to you both.
Alaikum salam.
All right. Now, coming up, and Brother Terrence will get into this more, and we're going to be joined by student minister Carlos Muhammad and Brother Samuel shortly to give us some real insight into what is happening. We know that Minister Farrakhan's personal appearances are increasingly rare, and so it is always significant. It always has been, but even more so now, when he makes a decision to come out and speak personally, it is something that we all should turn our eye, ear, mind, and soul towards. And coming up this Saturday, November 22nd, the second annual Black United Summit International, where all, this is the theme, where all HBCUs come together, the theme, reclaim, repair, reform, reproduce, reparations now. This is being held at Morgan State University, Baltimore, Maryland. The doors open at 3. The program begins at 6 p.m. This is all Eastern Standard Time at the Murphy Fine Arts Center on the campus of Morgan State University in Baltimore. Minister Louis Farrakhan will deliver the keynote address. And naturally, wherever he goes, the enemies of our liberation, the enemies of God's will always are aroused. And so we're going to get some enlightenment on that this evening as well. As I'm talking to you, President Obama is addressing the nation on his executive order pertaining to immigration. And I pray Allah that he finds it in himself to come out with some executive orders pertaining to black people in America and our fundamental constitutional rights. But I'll tell you one thing, the good news is that all of this does is prove that we are following the right man, because there is no justice to be had from white folks in America. And our poor president has been handcuffed from the day he was sworn in. And he's had to pick and choose carefully. And I guess for him, this is as close as he's going to ever get to doing something for people other than white folks, I guess. But I'm going to, at this point, have Brother Terrence Muhammad step up to the mic and give us a briefing. And we're going to just move forward with the program. And welcome to you all.
Yes, ma'am. That's, you know, you just mentioned a lot of things that's in the news right now. As you talked about the weather, and we looked at houses being covered in Buffalo, New York. And funny thing, one of the believers said that's on the other side of town. The believer mentioned that on the east side of Buffalo, where the black people were, they was okay and moving around, but didn't know about the other side of town. So that was very, very. Yeah, I know, but that was very interesting. But the weather has dramatically changed. And as you mentioned, President Obama is, as we currently are speaking, speaking now about immigration reform. And earlier today, black leadership with along a Latino and Asian leadership spoke about immigration reform and how they were backing the president and hope that he pushed for immigration reform. We had Reverend Al Sharpton, Mark Marial, the president of the NAACP, Melanie Campbell, La Raza, a lot of different organizations and agent representation at this press conference this morning talking about immigration reform. And one of the gentlemen said, this is just but one step. It is not immigration reform, but it is at least a step in the right direction. As you said, we follow the right man because they definitely have him handicapped. And also, I was on a national call today as far as Ferguson, waiting for the notification with national organizations, and we're waiting to hear from the Department of Justice to let us know, and at least the black leadership is asking them to give us time and at least notifications, since they meet on Mondays and Thursdays to deliberate. And usually after that, they will make their announcement, and we was expecting on the weekends so that they wouldn't do it while young people were in school. So it could be coming any day now. There's been training on the ground in Ferguson of 600 young people and 600 people in nonviolence disobedience. There's three safe spaces in Ferguson and 11 sanctuary spaces where churches, where people can just do and speak freely and let whatever frustration that they have out. So there's a lot of different national organization and local organization on the ground preparing as the National Guard and what the governor has stated, put the city in the state of emergency. Then there's a lot of things going on. Also, you know, as I am in the climate change movement, there was a major win in the NOKXL, stopping the Keystone Pipeline.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And so that was a big and major victory. But we know that as we're watching the Republicans take over the Congress next year, a lot of the things that have been done for good will be overdone or undone. But one of the things that was significant with the Keystone, not just about the pollution and what it would do to our atmosphere, is that if this does go through and they try to push it through, the Native communities and the reservations where our brothers are and sisters are, they have declared it to be an act of war. And I don't know if people have not really highlighted that, but when they say it's an act of war, they're not just saying something. They really mean that's an act of war, and they will actually take to battle with anybody that will try to put a pipeline on their land. And so we could really see some more devastation throughout the Midwest in just a couple of months as we continue to fight. Also, just nation news, what is going on. I'll give a shout-out to our brother, Brother Abel out of Chicago. He's going to be speaking in Compton this weekend, and I forgot the other city he'll be in tomorrow night. Shout-out to our brother, Brother Hassan out of New York. He has Brother Soul Bean Pies. He is one, and it's very funny, but he has finally gotten the bean pie in upscale New York, where people are actually buying the bean pies as delicacy in very, very expensive restaurants. Our brother Swiss Beats, very pronounced, large producer in the hip-hop world. Organization that celebrates women, Valicia Butterfield, had him serving bean pies as desserts for last night. So he's on the move doing great things. Also, our sister Inaj is starting her Rez tour, is going to the reservations. You can go to the Rez, R-E-Z, tours at Gmail to learn more about the Rez tour starting out of Atlanta next month. So there's a lot going on. But to close out, we got to remember to go watch The Time and What Must Be Done. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has tweeted out and put on Facebook to remind us to keep watching The Time and What Must Be Done.
Right.
You can go to NOI.org and learn more about that. And if you're not, and I should be ashamed, but you just may not know, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan does have a Facebook page and a Twitter page at Louis Farrakhan. So make sure you follow Minister Farrakhan as well as follow at Dr. Ava Muhammad to get all of the latest notification information that's out there. And as she said, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be at Morgan State this weekend and his powerful lecture and the conference on reparation at predominantly HBCU. So it's a beautiful thing that this is going to be happening this weekend. Oh, and as Dr. Ava, we did I have to say this because we laughed about it before we got on the call. Yes, it is true. Savior's Day will be celebrated in individual cities throughout the nation. So those that were looking for court mates, you just got to get in your cars and travel to distant cities. But we still go to celebrate Savior's Day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm so glad that you remembered so that we can plan accordingly. And we will also talk more about that before the show is out. I'm glad you reminded me. But, yes, Savior's Day will be broadcast via webcast from Chicago, from Mosque Mariam. And the local and regional mosques will be celebrating it in your cities. It'll give you the opportunity to host a venue and also perhaps generate not only charity and revenue, but also people. And there will be more on that and some guidance and advice perhaps on how to make that happen. And thank you so much, Brother Terrence. While we let's do this first. Let's talk about Ferguson. As we wait for Brother Carlos and Brother Samuel to come on about Baltimore, and we'll just sort of bounce around to these topics. We also have Bill Cosby under assault right now. I don't say that with a personal knowledge of any of the underlying facts. I don't say that in terms of as the fact pattern itself. But as an attorney, I'm very disturbed when I hear a woman talking about 1969. When I first heard that year, I thought that perhaps I misunderstood what she was saying, and then it was repeated again. I said 1969. My sister and I were talking about that this morning. My sister said, I was in middle school. I said, I'm coming out of high school. Do you know, can you even fathom? We're pushing up on a half century, people. Let me just say this, and we'll talk more about that too. But the one thing is clear, white folks never, if they can help it, allow any black man or woman to leave this earth without your reputation and character being tarnished. Bill Cosby has an incredible image for black and white as a father, as a husband. The show, the Bill Cosby show in the 1980s, I've heard white people say he was their father image because they didn't have one. They didn't have a model image. Michelle Obama has talked about the Cosby show and said, you know, she said, Barack and I are not some aberration or exception. There are hundreds of thousands of black people, millions even, with two parents working, taking care of their children, living comfortably, even in a slave-holding nation and Jim Crow segregation, discrimination. With all of that, we have still managed to forge a quality life to a very large extent. And so you can trust and believe that that was not going to go untouched. And again, that's not saying that he never did anything wrong. I'll just say what Minister Farrakhan says all the time: if you look for fault, you will find it.
Because
there is not a perfect one among us. And here's the people who, talking about white people now, make it clear. You know, Catholic Church, you and your priest, your pedophiles, your rapists. Hollywood, you want to talk about this man as an entertainer. The Godfather showed you what goes on in Hollywood, where the movie producer had the little 12-year-old girl, okay, and talking about what a great piece of meat she was to him. Do you think that's not real? This is who they are. This is what they do, okay? And so as Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Just wanted to mention that. But we've got Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad on, and she's got something to share with us. Sister Pamela, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, Sister Ava. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely. And assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Terrence. How are y'all doing?
Fine, what a great soul.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, Sister Ava, thank you for allowing me to come on your show and talk again about my hometown, which seems like it's the poster child for institutional racism and police, you know, police domination. And that's a historical thing, I believe. So I was telling you the other day, we are doing a show on Blog Talk Radio now called Just Us and You. And the purpose of our show is to, you know, just really talk about legal issues. And right now we're doing one on Ferguson. And, you know, we've had some conversations with attorneys and different people who we call who are on Ground Zero. And, you know, it's just been really exciting this week to be able to communicate this travesty we're seeing when the governor made this call, you know, for violence, you know, made a call talking about bringing in to combat violence, when really all we've seen is violence by the police, you know, and the mindset of violence, that they've had. And, you know, we've also got a chance to talk to people in town who are, you know, really they're anxious, you know, in some ways. They're tired, they're frustrated, you know, but the spirit in the youth, of course, is just outstanding. Brother Jesse Muhammad was on our show on Tuesday, and he was, you know, telling us how the youth are sometimes they can't believe, they don't know where the spirit that has arisen in them to stand up for this against this injustice came from. But, you know, that's what they're doing, and they are, you know, just so brilliantly and so brave in their stance. So, you know, we have a show, and we've been talking about these issues going on in Ferguson, and it's called Just Us and You. Yes, ma'am. And we've been on Thursday, early Thursdays, actually, around 11 o'clock. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, I want you to stay on the line, Sister Attorney Pamela,
ma'am,
because we're going to be discussing Ferguson as well as Minister Farrakhan's upcoming engagement at Morgan State and all of the usual controversy that surrounds his presence and, of course, the unrelenting effort to dictate to black people who we should listen to, how we should live. I'm just praying that we are coming close to the day when we realize the truth of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said continually, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our leader in following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, has continually said these people are totally, totally disagreeable to live with. And until we go for self, all of our creative energy is going to constantly be drained by battles with them over our basic freedoms. And so we're gonna go to the lines and get started. Let me do this. I do see Brother Samuel has joined us. Brother Samuel is involved in the upcoming engagement, and as well as he was in Tennessee when Minister Farrakhan appeared there, and he's going to be joined shortly as well by Student Minister Carlos. In the meantime, though, I want to open the line and get him in this conversation. Brother Samuel, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. It's a pleasure to be on and good to hear your voices.
Oh, yours as well, and thank you for fighting the good fight.
Yes, sir, ma'am, because
it's on. Yes, sir. Why don't you give us a little bit of insight as to where we are right now?
Well, regarding the conference, we are, of course, going to begin with our first. It's a two-day conference that's going to begin tomorrow morning, inshallah. And we're going to be dealing with a panel discussion that's going to take place, that's going to feature some very bright minds. And the theme this year for our conference is Reclaim, Repair, Reform, Reproduce Reparations Now. And we also are asking and evaluating the question, what is the value of young black life? And we have to examine, and that comes out of the wake of all of the things that have been happening across the country, in particular, this flashpoint, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has described, of what Ferguson has become with the slaying of Mike Brown, and just, you know, culminating a recent events of black youth just being slaughtered across the country. And so we are examining this, and we're doing it on the college campus because this is happening to black youth. And Mike Brown was on his way to college. So we wanting to everybody to focus on that, and that's why we're at Morgan State University. We're preparing for that panel discussion, and, of course, are waiting for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's address on Saturday on the 22nd.
All praises due to Allah. Excellent summary. Yes, go ahead, brother.
And I just wanted to jump in two things. Just the latest update just came in. The Final Call News reports via email that Morgan State's lecture will be webcast at noi.org/webcast. It That's will right. be webcast, so you can see it live for yourself in the comfort of your home. But I just had to put that plug in there. But also,
oh, that's critical.
Yes, yeah, very critical. But I did want to go into, before Brother Carlos gives some history, I do need to big up Brother Sammy, because in the whole situation with Tennessee, he was there when we first tried to get to Tennessee, and we ended up in the church, and he fought and made sure that we had it at Tennessee State. And it was a lot of not even, you know, that's when the minister said, we're going to make sure he gets his money back, because he put his personal money up to make sure that that happened. And it was interesting, in my conversations with other people, the brother that was down there from Baltimore, from Morgan State, was on the stage with Brother Sam, and he worked with the student organization. Now Brother Sam is going to Morgan State with them. So that interlinking of student activists stay connected. And even though there's a lot of activism around, all of us are still working. So for us to connect again today, it's like he is still in the work, still pushing and making it known that it's not just his campus or my campus, it's getting the word to all of the students that we possibly can. So I just thank the brother for continues to work, and I just want him to touch on how he has kept that linkage between the students, you know, during the different years.
Yes, sir. And I thank you for that, brother. You know, I must say first and foremost that when we came with the conference busy, we really didn't name this conference. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did. And where the name came from initially, the way we got started is that it got started at the table with dinner with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we thought about how he talks about what people who are involved in business should do. And if you're involved in business, you need to be busy. So as a result of that, you know, I went and myself with a few others at that time went to work. And we went to the Student Government Association at Tennessee State University and began to establish that relationship on getting the minister on that campus, as he hadn't spoke at Tennessee State since 1990. So we were working very hard with that. We ran into a lot of trouble. And basically, you know, not to go too far, too deep into that, there were so many, many blockades that we had faced and had to deal with regarding that, but we were able to persevere through on the second attempt when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan instructed me to tell the students that I'm coming back and I'm going to be speaking on that campus. So all the only thing I could do is say yes, sir. And I went to work with others who were very diligent and with that, and the young brother Chinedu and Wokefor, who was the student leader who the minister had brought in front of the world and brought up on the stage with him at Tennessee State University. And, you know, during a private meeting we had the day before, he had asked the minister to come to his campus. And so from that point forward, I started working with Brother Chinedu and Wokefor, and he went to work on campus in Baltimore with the Morgan State University, SGA, the Omegas, the Deltas, and other people who basically established a coalition of students to make this a reality today. I didn't do it by myself. I can't take the credit. All I can say is I was just a willing participant in something that was bound to happen, because I just met up with people who had a like mind and same passion that I had to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. I'm so glad, Brother Terrence, you asked Brother Samuel to do that. Thank you, Brother Samuel. That was powerful testimony.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Can I say something here?
Yes.
Let me tie some things together here. You know, first of all, Brother Samuel, you know, you are exemplary of what Sister Tracy Muhammad talks about in her book, Journey to Joy, in terms of that type of unrelenting motivation. And that is definitely going to be required. And many times people think that, you know, maybe it's not me. You know, maybe it's not me to handle this. You know, it's too big for me. But, you know, they should keep going the way you kept going. And it's very, very important that each of us takes this up as a serious business of trying to get the minister to our people, because there is a blackout on the minister and there's a flood against the minister.
That's right.
On Tuesday, on our conference call, a sister mentioned that in Richmond there's a radio program, and somebody asked the question, you know, when is the nation going to speak on ISIS? You know, well, what I said, well, look, it doesn't matter what the nation says, they're not going to air it. The minister's already said they're not going to interview him.
That's right.
So the media is completely under control of these so-called Jews, and
that's
they
right.
are against the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So if we don't push the minister, if we don't have more radio programs like we have here and Sister Pamela set up, we got, and you all are doing, we got to do this because nobody is going to push the minister out there but us, and he is the saving grace, and the enemy is not going to give him or us no airtime. So we got to figure out a way, on our minds all the time, how do we get the minister to our people? Because we're in the middle of this war, of this great flood against this flood of propaganda against the nation. I'm going to say one other thing about Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby made the fundamental mistake in 1992 of trying to buy NBC.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what if we had, if Bill Cosby owned NBC? I believe that Mr. Farrakhan will at least get a chance to speak every now and then to report.
No doubt.
This is how the enemy works. There's no way they're going to allow a black person who has any type of testiculars or any type of brain
consciousness
to own a major station. And he did that, and Bill Cosby should have known better to play around with white girls after that, because they were after him. And now they're taking him down. But it is so important. The airways are so important. And so they got control of it, and we're going to have to go underground through whatever means we have to get the people to listen to see Mr. Farrakhan on the time of what must be done, and also in Baltimore and what he's going to do this Saturday, the 22nd.
That's right.
We're the only ones that's going to push this.
That's right.
If I may. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
If I may just say something briefly about that, you know, speaking of, just coming off of what you were saying, Sister Ava and my brother that just spoke, you know, right here in Baltimore, I'm very thankful for the atmosphere that the Believers here at number 6 in Baltimore, and Minister Carlos and others, because they have a very friendly relationship with key people in the media. But nonetheless, it did not stop the enemy from attacking, because just yesterday there was an op-ed that was released in the Baltimore Sun from a Jewish blogger, I believe his name is Jay Bernstein, who has called for the university leadership to denounce the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's visit. You know, and I just think just the nerve of you to never show any interest in an HBCU or any black student for that matter, but now all of a sudden, and then you throw the old lies out, the homophobic lies, the anti-Semite lies, all of the lies that have been, the spin doctors have been taking and using for years, and for the last almost 30 years now or more, that they keep putting out because they have no new tricks. But they put these lies out and actually think that the people are really going to just hold on to that. But that's what was recently put out yesterday. So we have to do our due diligence and making sure that the people are aware of the truth. And so that's why it is so important for young people in particular on these college campuses to take heed of this word and to come hear this message.
Amen. Excellent. We're going to go to the phones. We've got, I don't have a name, but we have a sister on the 347 area code who has a comment and a question. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Hi. How you doing?
Fine.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, I just would like to comment on Bill Cosby. I just would like to say I thank him in the 90s when he had his talk shows, Different World, The Cosby Show. He inspired me. Also, as a person going to Dianetics, you made a statement about 1965, 1969, give me a break. I'm going back in Dianetics at the age of 4 and 5 on what I have experienced being a victim of rape and child molestation. I'm going way back, and I'm in my, mid-40s, a little older than that. And I'm going way back. You know, it's a hurtful thing. I don't know if this happened to the lady or not. I don't know. But I'm going way back, and a lot of things that happened to me, and it's very bad. Also, I would like to say I'm waiting for the time for us to remember the evil that was put upon us by the Caucasian race, because I'm also remembering that, too. When I was in these school systems, public school systems, with these Caucasian people have done to me and the children in the school systems, I'm going back and I'm remembering that also. So I know we're remembering things with our father, our uncles, our brothers did to us. We should, you know, remember more about what the white man had done to us. You know, maybe we would be enraged more and want to do more to build schools, to get our children out of these schools, more hospitals, and want to do what Farrakhan wanted us to do, separate, have our own. You know, if we remember these things that have been done to us, you know, and, you know, I'm just, we talking about Ferguson, you know, we should remember more so we could do more.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's all I have to say. God, may God
well,
bless
I thank
you.
Thank you for that. Thank you
and
for
everybody
that.
Everybody else.
That's all. Yes, ma'am, I appreciate that. And I would just make this comment that the person and persons that are leveling these charges were all, I think, 1920, early 20s, the ones that go way back. And keep in mind that around the same time, Bill Cosby was in his late 20s or early 30s. So we don't think of this as, because now he's an elderly man, and the mindset can connect him now with behavior then. And what we're objecting to is the conspiracy, the organized attack coming through, as Dr. Richard said, the Jewish-controlled media. So it's not to dismiss, and I said that at the beginning, this has nothing to do really with the underlying facts, and I am not defending him against what he's done, if he's done any of these things. But what we have to see in the pattern here is the assault on the character and reputation, as everyone has said earlier, was Brother Samuel, Brother Dr. Richard just got through talking about, the assaults on Minister Farrakhan. And why it is so important that we push back. You cannot come against any of their people without them rushing to that person's
right.
defense. It's off limits. That's
right.
Again, why I use the Catholic Church. With all of this admission of child rape among priests in the Catholic Church, and you have a lot of those cases where these children were traumatized, and it took them into adulthood to come forward. And when it was ultimately demonstrated and admitted by many of these priests that they engaged in this, the Catholic Church said, well, we'll deal with that. What happened to criminal charges?
Right.
Well, what happened to the perp walk? Why didn't the police go up in the church and cuff these people and walk them out? Just like Darren Wilson. When you shoot an 18-year-old teenager who was minding his business, had on shorts and a T-shirt, and you shoot him 10, 11 times, and one bullet is down in the top of his head, and you're telling me, I'm a former prosecutor, you have probable cause, but you'd rather
right.
call out the military, you would rather raise all of this hell than to do the right thing. And you want to tell me Farrakhan is a racist, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a racist, because their teacher, Master Farid Muhammad, identified you as Satan, as the devil. And everything you do confirms, as Muhammad Ali told them. You know, even when he was on interviewed by white people on TV, and they asked him, oh, you believe Elijah Muhammad telling you that we're the devil? He said, yes, I accept it. He said, but the greatest proof that that is who you are is you and what you do every single
That's
day.
Right.
You confirm it. So we're going to go to, we've got Sister Darcel who has a comment on the Florida shoot. Oh, there's a the Florida shooting and
right.
on Bill Cosby. Welcome
yes.
to the show.
Yes, I think you. Assalamu alaikum, family. How are
well,
you? Yes.
Wonderful.
Before I go on, I want to enthusiastically say that me, BP, what that stands for, that I contributed to Muhammad Economic Blueprint. So me, BB.
Right.
I think that's something I'm so proud of, and I will continue and will urge others. I wanted to also touch on the Florida State shooting. It happened. They showed us a picture of a person of color, a brother, who was an attorney, they said, who graduated from the University of Florida State University, the Seminoles. And I wanted to see if you can do more research on that. And another concern I have is about net neutrality. My concern is because a lot of the new monies is coming, the entrepreneurs is coming with internet businesses, and that's a different way of reaching people globally. And I want to get your opinion on how people of color, how we can make money in this new industry. And I think a lot of obstacles are coming up, and they're fighting President Obama on some of his stance on that. So I just wanted to get some clarity from you on the Florida State graduate attorney, as well as have you given any thought to the net neutrality?
Well, thank you, Sister Darcel. This is the first I'm hearing of this Florida shooting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I'm making a note of now. And we have people right in the nation, too, as far as the Internet. First of all, as a business, and President Obama has asked that it be treated as a utility because he wants regulation to be applicable. And so I'm going to do more research. And, of course, naturally, he was immediately mobbed and attacked over that. So I will definitely look into both of those matters. I did not know about the Florida shooting.
Sister Ava.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Ava, this is Sister Pamela.
Yes,
can I say something? I just wanted to say this reference to what the brother talked about, who's bringing the minister down and the beautiful work that he's doing. And, you know, I just want to say, too, that it's such a freeing spirit to be able to help and, you know, try to help put the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan before the people. Like with this Ferguson situation, I think that, you know, people are listening and they're looking for guidance. And like Brother Jesse had mentioned, how he had been tweeting the youth some of the minister's lectures, like justifiable homicide or some of the minister's words. And the youth were like, wow, you know, we didn't know, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been saying these things, and this is exactly what's happening to us now. And so they're really wanting to know, that people are looking for answers. And I wanted to say about the Bill Cosby situation, it's kind of funny to me that they're entertaining on this Jewish-controlled media, as we know it is. They're entertaining these people coming up with allegations from 1969 and all this. And it's not even, you know, but they won't even entertain the eyewitnesses who saw this Darren Wilson murder Mike Brown 2 months ago.
Right.
You know, that's like, oh, gosh, they just dismiss it, and let justice be done, you know, in this secret tribunal. That's what I think this grand jury is. I think, you know, we're getting to a point, like they had Garrigus on CNN, and he was saying, yes, we have a new grand jury. You know, we're going back to the way grand juries were supposed to be, which really were, you know, he's saying a secret tribunal where they're having a trial, really. And we're not going to be, you know, we're not privy. It's not fair. We don't know what's going on. And then you're going to come out and tell us, oh, you know, he didn't do anything, which we're supposed to have a trial. It should be on TV. And I just wanted to say one thing. There is a story that came out today out of St. Louis. Yeah, there was a story about the other young man, Von Derrick Myers, who was murdered by another St. Louis police officer. And they actually released the police officer's name. And, you know, it was really a travesty because they wouldn't even give us the name. They wouldn't give the lawyers the name. They wouldn't give the victim's parents the names. But so it just so happened that the name was on Von Derrick Myers. It was with his body when it got released to the morgue. Or the funeral home, and so the lawyers were able to take the name. The name was attached, and they found out that this officer, whose name is Flannery, he's actually a racist. He's all on social media, calling the president Obama, you know, making statements about, you know, being conservative, and he actually was charged with having having a knife. As a high schooler, and, you know, he was actually convicted of the misdemeanor offense for unlawful use of a weapon. And this was the officer who shot this Von Derrick Myers person, you know, and so I think the power of us being able to tell our story and give information that, you know, that they like to hide from the people is really important. And I just, you know, wanted to add those two things.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate
yes, ma'am.
That. And,
yes,
and you know, the Sister Rona's texting me on the Florida case that this event took place this morning. The alleged gunman was killed by the police. They're saying that the brother opened fire in the library of Florida State University. He is the victim, or the dead man is Myron May. He graduated from Florida State University in 2005. He graduated from Texas Tech University Law School in 2009. And see, to your point, Brother Samuel, earlier when you said, you reminded us all, Michael Brown was on his way to college. Okay. And when we start to look at these young people, and particularly young black males like Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, just the families that these brothers come from, the effort. I remember Michael Brown's mother. That's the first time I cried. When these things happen, it takes me a while to cry because I at first had to deal with all this anger. But when his mother said, "You have no idea what it took for me to get him through high school."
Mm.
You know,
right.
Again, what we have struggled with as black people all the way back to the kidnappings off the coast of Africa, we need to snap out of it. Whatever it is in us, all right, that is causing us to try to run away from our destiny, we need to pull ourselves together. We've been given everything we need from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, from Minister Farrakhan, and we have been told we're capable of this. This, you know, breaking this emotional attachment to white people. So this is going on now every day. This gunning down. They killed a brother here in Chicago. Recently, this man, he's early 30s, he was taking his 9-year-old daughter into the emergency, or rather they were brought, the two of them, they had a minor car accident. They were brought into the emergency room, and what you're given by white people is the audio of the 911 call, which says, "We have a gunman in the ER." Then you see the video of the cops firing, just opening up fire. You don't see who they're shooting at, but it's this brother. They later say, of course, he was armed. Now, what person comes into an ER injured with their child and jumps up and opens fire? Now, later they said he was agitated. See, the other thing we got to understand is the hatred that white people have toward black people. We don't want to face their whole genetic origin and their incapacity to ever see us as we truly are. It's not going to happen. You can't vote it in. You can't protest it in. It doesn't say you shouldn't do various things, but you're always going to find yourself running against a brick wall at the end of the day. And so you would not call in to 911 with a white man in there and say, why didn't you say we have a patient who's agitated? We had a man firing a gun or pointing a gun in the ER. So the police move out with an idea. Then they see it's,
right,
it's a black man, and they just open fire. So we're going to go. Brother Keith has been waiting a long time. He has a comment. Brother Keith, welcome back. Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wow.
That's to the Negro. Oh, well, I just want to say very quickly, hell with Bill Cosby, hell with Obama. Bill Cosby part of the black bourgeoisie, the boule. Now, I do not condone whether or not he did it or not. Bill Cosby is supposed to be a great family member. The comments he made strongly talking down on black folks, talking about raising your family right, and this comes out. And the question we should all be asking is, who the Bill Cosby man? All this information is coming about this one black man. All of a sudden, yeah, he had TV shows coming out. He's supposed to appear on a couple of sitcoms and a whole lot of other stuff. And all of a sudden, information pop up and boom, you know, he got the scene. Secondly,
blurred. Both blurred.
You're breaking up. You may be in a bad
location.
Yeah,
we're getting an echo and a blur, muffled sound, Brother Keith.
Hey, can you hear me now?
That's better.
That is better.
Well, I just want to say this because my phone been knocking up all week. I just wanted to say, you know, it seems like it's two forces, the Negro Revolution and the Black Revolution. Nonviolent struggle, outdated, and outused. That's a strategy that has been proven to be ineffective for today's time. So, you know, we have to develop our own society, our own nation. We don't need the white man as validation. So, you know, with the whole verdict thing, if they do indict him, which is nothing more than an accusation, he ain't being sent to jail.
All it is.
That won't really do anything. They won't really do anything for me. So those of us who really, you know how the system works, that ain't not really but a, you know, a slap on the hand. So that, I just wanted to see that.
Yes, sir. We're, as always, you always are very insightful, and we thank you for that. And again, you know, I love what you're saying because, again, I told the people up in Milwaukee, I was up there a couple of weeks ago, they shot a brother there 14 times. He's sitting on a park bench, okay, 32 years old. You know, we are expending all of our energy and resources for white people to charge another white person. What are we getting out of that? What is that for? What is it about? Rather than pooling our resources and going for self. And like he just said, if they do charge him, if they convict him.
Right, exactly.
So what? Michael Brown is in the ground. Trayvon is in the ground. The list goes on, and every day they're adding fresh blood.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sorry to scream, but, you know, he's like the Negroes and black people. You know, take your pick.
You know, can I come in here?
You can stay with them if you want, you know?
you know, we're being played. Okay? Remember that just in 2008. See, these people they've done this for years. They know how to play host nations and societies.
Yes.
Now we was given this great hope in 2008. Okay, change. Now they knew when they was putting Obama up that they was getting ready to take all the money out of the system. So they put him up, take all the money out of the system, get our hopes up. We finally arrived. There's a post-racial America. So we wasted 6 years in a dream world of non-reality, of a post-racial. Then they bring it slammed down to the earth by killing these brothers one after another, putting on, you know, making it very public, and then he has all the rage again. We have to have a steady course and not allow these people to play us. We got to have a steady course of what's best for us as a people and not allow these people to play us, because they're playing us.
That's an excellent point. And you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if you stop thinking about white people, they will cease to exist. And you're enlightening us onto the practical meaning of that. We're being played because they're making us remain obsessed with what they think and say.
Right.
And they easily distract us when they throw side issues. And it's not a coincidence that they started running after Bill Cosby now, that they started running after black athletes.
Right, come on.
In the NFL immediately after Michael Brown, to say to us, this is the black man, this is who he is.
Right.
He deserves to be shot, because the first person you have in the mic to condemn is another black person. Just like dumb Negroes are running around on TV saying gas is cheap. Gas is not cheap.
Come on. Come on.
It is exorbitant.
And so,
like you said, playing us, you make it almost $5 in Chicago. Outright criminal robbery. You take it down to $3, and we're, oh, my God, thank you, Mr. White Man. Now, you have taken over every oil-producing nation on the earth. It should be free.
That's right.
Anyway, so thank you for that, Dr. Ritchie.
But, Dadev, you brought in a bunch of points, and I think one of the things that people have been talking about, you know, it always amazed me. We said, look, carefully, you know, just went blank on the scripture, but it's amazing how we just believe the enemy as soon as he can condemn somebody. And we do know, we have seen that, you know, a man is innocent until proven guilty. But even if he, you know, goes through all this and they say, well, you was innocent, nobody will ever believe him, because now the perception and the suspicion that was probably already there. So, yeah, he probably did. He got enough money to get off. That's going to be already over there. So regardless if it's a lie or not, he's already ruined. And then the reality is, why do you want to ruin him in the media in the first place? Even if he did do it, like we said, we know it's not justified if that has happened. And, yes, he should be brought to charges for that. But what is the timing for that? Why is this going on? What is the reasoning for all of those particular things? And I did, side note, just want to let everybody know, another brother was coming on named Brother Faraji out of Baltimore, and he just let me know he can't come on because he's giving a speech to 150 students at Baltimore to let them know about Minister Farrakhan. So he's out doing the work, and I just want to reiterate that there's a whole generation. We need to act like people don't know Minister Farrakhan, because there's a whole generation out there that don't know them, know him. So when they have the audacity to say, we don't have no leaders, we don't have no black leaders, because the only leaders that's been put before them are the same old ones that they are tired of seeing and hearing. So we have to reintroduce, like Jay-Z got us on, let me reintroduce myself. My name is Farrakhan. We have to show Farrakhan to this new generation. So when people are saying that, we mentioned Farrakhan, I said, who? We never knew about that, because they really do not know. There has been a whitewashing. So the Twitter army is so important. That's why we need to get the book by Minister Farrakhan 2.0, The Teachings, and follow him on Twitter and make sure that everybody follows him on Twitter, and that will hit that new generation to spark what we're talking about in this kind of conversation.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So we're going to go to Brother Derek. Let me get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Derek.
Walaikum salam, sister Ava and brothers. You know what? History is a wonderful thing. Those of you who were around in 1994 in the month of November, remember O.J. Simpson was dominating headlines 20 years ago from today. Now, here we are in 2014. Officer Darren Wilson is dominating the headlines today. everywhere we heard the mantra, O.J. did it, the press pressing the question, did O.J. do it or didn't he do it? Where's the mantra from the black community today that Wilson did it? Did he or didn't
he? That's
excellent. I say let's put it out far and wide. Wilson did it just like they did with O.J. Mm.
I love it. I love it.
But that's what I call a say, sister.
Well, you know what? I love these callers because he's exactly right. You know, and O.J., that reminds me of how they, you said we're being played, Dr. Risley. Look at how in your face, as my children say, bogus. And one of my daughter's teachers said that she was being disrespectful. My daughter was being disrespectful. And I got a call from the school. This just happened in the spring. And they said, your daughter is in detention. She's being disrespectful. What does she do? And she definitely has a mouth on her and can be disrespectful. So I'm waiting. But, you know, one thing about my husband and I, we come to our children's defense, you know,
right.
when it's appropriate. So they said, well, your daughter said, she said to the teacher, what you did was bogus. And she used this phrase, bogus. So I said, and? Well, you know, bogus. I said, do you know what bogus is? It's fraudulent. That's a legal term, bogus, like a bogus check. My daughter used a legal term, you know, because it's a black teenager. See, you're assuming, because you're dumb and don't know a word, that it sounds like a bad word to you. See?
Right.
And so I'm saying all that to say that they redefined everything to their liking in the moment. Now, here's a man, O.J. Simpson, acquitted. He was tried before a jury of his peers, which most black men don't get. Okay, it was a predominantly,
right.
It was a black jury, which is what he should have
right.
had, a jury of his
right.
peers. He had a superb black attorney who was such a brilliant lawyer that he didn't have to put his client on the stand. So what did white people run around and say after the trial? He didn't prove he was innocent. That's not the law. The law is that you are presumed
right.
innocent. Until proven guilty. So they reversed it because the black man was acquitted. And I love what Brother Derek is saying. We need to stop debating white people. These Negroes on television allow white people to set the issues. And then they debate. Instead of just sit there and say, Darren Wilson did it. He's guilty.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Just
That's
sit
right.
there and look at him crazy and say,
right.
He did it. We all saw it. We all
right.
saw it. And then just end it right there. All of these nine-syllable words and being
right.
analytical and all of that, later for that. We all
yes.
saw it.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
All
right.
Now, I'm
going to
say something about the O.J. trial in 1994 because yes. it's very interesting. That really led up to the Million Man March. I can see the black women now saying, well, yeah, O.J. probably killed that woman, but if she was white, he should have. And so the sister let him off because, you know, well, at least he killed her. So the women put, and then they came talking bad about those women who were the jurors. And so the black women put the black men on the bus and sent them to the Million Man March. So, you know, Allah is the master of the Day of Judgment. So we do our work and sit back and watch him do his. So all of these things they're doing against us and the minister, we just watch and see how Allah turns it against them and makes the minister another victory in a very great way. So it's amazing to watch all of this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, one of the things I looked at with the minister on justifiable homicide,
you know, Minister Farrakhan said in that lecture how we had lost a generation of black youth, and he was actually quoting a newspaper article or report that had come out. And, you know, and at that time I was doing a lot of youth, you know, working in the community, working with law, trying to fight with them and fight for the youth. And it was like, well, no, you know, we're fighting for them. We're trying to help them. But, you know, when we look at what has happened over the years, you know, they were incarcerated, they've been certified, you know, the crack cocaine wars, the school system had just totally taken them out. So, you know, what we have now is the results of that, you know, that devastation. And so just like the brother was saying, now they're being reintroduced, we're reintroducing them to the minister, and that's really their only hope. And you know, and it's like what Dr. Ridgeland, I think when I was listening to him, I was thinking about this whole social engineering, how this plan had been instituted. This, none of this happened by coincidence. You know, they brought us to this point, and the youth are, you know, they're fighting. They're fighting for their lives at this point.
That's right.
To, you know, so I just, you know, wanted to put that in there.
Yes, ma'am.
And
you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us, to black people, Allah will make you separate.
Come on.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
What's going on now. He's making
right.
us separate. And
that's
he
right.
has launched a multifaceted strategy to make it happen. And it involves the enemy himself is probably playing the largest role
right.
in forcing
right.
the separation by his, as my daughter would say, bogus treatment of
yes,
black
ma'am.
People. See, now
right.
you cannot escape this anymore. Now, as Dr. Richard said, we've been in blackout mode. The devil blacked us out, blacked out the minister. Okay, now you have a lost generation from the time of the Million Man March when they made up when the enemy made up their mind never again. And so they launched all of this assault on the black community and ultimately completed what they had already put in place in the 60s with integration, which is
right.
Disintegration of the black family. Our integration with white people disintegrated the family.
Come on.
So we have no husband and wife. Okay,
right.
We don't have the granddad and the grandma and the auntie teaching the history. We don't have that anymore. We slide down to a female-headed household, and from there we complete the fall to a headless household where the children are calling the shots.
That's right.
All right? And so now the children run the youth run the black community, not the adults. They tell us, you're going to buy me them shoes, I'm going to stay out as long as I want, I'm going to get high, I'm going to do this and that, I ain't going to school, okay? And so we, because we are not following the restrictive law, we are not in compliance with Allah's will, so we can't exert authority over them. Because the only authority that they will comply with is from Allah. And there's one man that through whom they will experience that divine authority. So now they are ready because they're being wasted in the streets by the devil. They said they didn't care about living until they started seeing their peers get good. Now, you know, you're not as oblivious to death as you might have thought you were.
Right.
Because it's not in your genetic makeup to die like that. The Minister Farrakhan said we have a duty to Allah to live as long as we can. He said
that's
you're not allowed to die until you can't help it. Because life is a gift. And when Allah gives you a gift, you have to accept it. You can't say, I don't care. I'll just be dead at 15. You're not allowed to say that. So now you're going to get called out on that. So now they're ready. ready to hear him. They already told Reverend Jackson to go home, Reverend
Sharp
to go home. We don't want to hear you. We're not listening to you. There's only one voice. And that's what Baltimore is the last effort of the enemy to try. Their greatest fear is for him to be talking in this moment.
That's right.
That's right.
And Dr. Ava, I wanted to raise something, and I'm not sure if Brother Samuel is still on or not, but I wanted to raise a point and ask a question. One of the things I was thinking about before the call tonight and just thinking in general, and I don't know why it came up, I think it was listening to Minister Farrakhan, and we were talking about how, I was listening to the Janaza, Brother Robert, and the minister mentioned the age of Jesus in the Bible of leaving this world, you know, a planet or dying at 33. And then I started to think about Mumia Abu-Jamal, who's on death row, and he was the minister of information at 15 in the new in a Black Panther Party. And then I started thinking about Martin Luther King and his age, and all of those in the civil rights, and all those in South Africa. And I started to think, you know, all we glorifying these civil rights leaders, they were not old at the time; they were young. So it's always been about the youth in every struggle, every fight, every overcoming anything. Joshua, Caleb. It was always about the young in the war. So understanding that people that are in a war, war generals study battles and they understand who wins and who won battles. So they understood when the Minister Farrakhan did the Million Man March, it was a lot of young people along with the elders. So you had old men for council, young men for war. The minister raised up an army, so they immediately went to destroy that army because they understood that army was the overthrow of them. And I say that in setting a precedent of that was the beginning of the white out of Minister Farrakhan on college campuses.
Exactly.
So I don't want us to look at Morgan State as just another speaking at a Black college. I'm looking at him speaking at that youth, that army, that militant rise that they were trying to stop. So I would just throw a question over to Brother Samuel. How are the students receiving the idea of Minister Farrakhan coming, and how are they receiving him? Do they know him, and are they looking for Minister Farrakhan coming to the campus if he's still on the phone?
Well, no, he actually had to.
Oh, he had to go.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I.
But
that's
coming. You're right. It's a youth-driven revolutions are driven by two classes of people or types of people or categories, and oft time is combined into one, the intellectuals and the youth. And if you combine youth and intellectual, you're talking about college students.
Right.
And you're exactly right. And, you know, when I took my daughter to see The Butler, a couple of you, the movie, and she saw those college students at Fisk and in North Carolina, South Carolina, all that, sitting at the lunch counters, having hot coffee thrown in their face, being spit upon. And my daughter said, "Mom, that really happened?" Yes, and these are your peers.
Ooh.
17, 18 years old. Wasn't nobody 50 years old sitting at that lunch counter?
Right. Right.
So I think we just have to keep that in front of us, and this is why the minister is imploring us, you know, the youth in peril. And I think that the minister has already touched them, and that's why I thank Allah for the rappers and why he placed so much value in just a few, what a few lyrics can do.
Right. That's right.
But I can say just listening to my daughters and their friends, who the ones that are not in the nation, they know Farrakhan.
Right.
Ooh.
They know Farrakhan. They have resisted the discipline of coming into the nation, but they're starting to reconsider that.
Ooh.
Right.
So this is where we are right now, and you all have said it. We have got to be on these airwaves as long as we can until it's shut down. But the internet is available. This is our failure, because this is available 24/7.
Right.
And so when I'm not on, somebody else needs to be on.
That's right.
That's why we have Sister Pamela's on. We need a program devoted to Ferguson.
Yes,
we can't talk about Ferguson once a week, once a month. This enemy is on all day, every day, ceaselessly.
That's right.
Yes,
pushing
ma'am.
His agenda.
Right.
So the minister eats, drinks, sleeps, lives Elijah Muhammad.
That's right. That's right.
We can't do this part-time.
Right. Exactly.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you're either with me or not. Half a belief, he said, is fatal. Because all that leaves you is confused.
That's right.
When you're in and out of our... I mean, imagine, you know, you're in our army, but, well, I got to go work with the enemy for 8 or 9 hours. I'll be back. We can't continue with that. We got to separate. Speaking of separation... Brother Lewis, Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that's him. That's a separator.
Separator.
He doesn't, hardly let an hour go by without sending out messages.
That's right.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Lewis.
How y'all doing?
Alaikum salam.
We're great.
You know, this show is just so powerful. It should be on 24/7 today. I do want to say something here. You know, you mentioned that the youth booed Al Sharpton and told Jesse Jackson to get out of town. He don't speak for them. And some of us would see something like that and say, "Oh, they're very disrespectful." But I want to caution you on that.
Come on.
Time. They had enough time to form a united black front with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and maybe the youth are helping them to see that now. And so we don't need no so-called to-do-good Muslims or nationalists to come to the youth and tell them to stand down. No, you stand down and let the youth talk. Next point is we're going through a stage right now that is similar to when they made the movie A Birth of a Nation, where they put in the movie about black men raping white women, when in reality it was white men raping black women. This is what the Cosby thing is all about. See, the media is no more than a military weapon, psychological weapon, bombarding our young people's minds to make them psychopathic and degenerate criminals. And this is
That's
how
right.
they're using the media to do this. And last point is this. I get depressed thinking about how could we black men ever lose warfare to white men? I mean, I thought about it for years. There's no way we could possibly lose. They're not smarter than us. They're not strong enough. How could we lose to white men in warfare? And I want to tell you their strategy. It's simple. Whenever we would beat them and defeat them in warfare and run them away from the Garden of Eden of Africa, they would always, eventually, they figured out what they had to do. They sent a white woman. And we start getting weak. And I hope Bill Cosby is not guilty of white sex, which most entertainers are. And anytime you're engaging with sex with white women, you're guilty of
absolutely.
White sex. Period.
Absolutely.
And so, to make a long story short, they want no positive images of black men on TV.
Period.
Cosby put the most positive images of black men on TV. And for that, they already punished him and killed his son. That was a Jew that killed his son.
Yes.
A Russian Jew. Don't forget about that. And now, so, you know, this is where we are. But finally, in closing, Louisiana held the first conference on what integration has done to black businesses, and you would be surprised. Our people are sick of integration. And hopefully
they really are.
See it. Mm-hmm. See it. Thank y'all. Enjoying the show.
Thank you. Well, alaikum salam. We're running out of time, so we're gonna go to Brother Mark, who's been on for a really, really long time. Let me get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark.
Well, alaikum salam, Sister Ava, Brother Terrence, and all others that's on. I'm just listening to this powerful station here. But Sister Ava, you are such a soldier. But I was just thinking about Bill Cosby, and basically everything has been answered. But our brother, you know, he wanted to buy a television station, NBC, you know, 20 years ago. But I just personally think once he started talking about positive things, the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is doing, I think that's when the Jews decided to move on, because they knew he had did whatever he did 30-something years ago, if he did it. But regardless if he did it, you hit the nail on the head. You know, God is pushing this thing. Not the thought Muhammad is pushing this thing to make us sick and tired of this world. And if we're not going to be sick and tired of this world, we're going down with it. And I thank a lot
right.
for sisters like you, Sister Ava, and brothers like you, Brother Terrence, for keeping it on. We, those brothers in the streets with this final call, we got to hit it even harder now, because that's our weapon that we're fighting with. Because we're in a fight now, and we're in a fight we're going to win with Allah's permission. But
the thing is,
we represent Minister Farrakhan when we're out there. When the people see us, they should see the humble Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's all I have to say. Keep up the good work, Sister Ava and Brother Terrence. God willing, see you in Baltimore, Maryland, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir.
Love you.
Alaykum salam, and thank you for pushing the Final Call newspaper. That there is salvation for our people in that paper, and we have to get it into our people's hands. We have to keep it up. We got Sister Joella, who's also been holding a very long time, out of Washington D.C. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, my beloved sister. It's just a blessing that this show has been on with the help of Allah for the past 3+ years. And we're just so grateful for you, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, and all of the other guests. And, you know, really, Sister Ava, starting out 3 years ago, you really brought the calmness that we have and the reality that Dr. Ridgely talks about with the sheep, the shepherd and the bad sheepdog. But it just brings to mind that we are really, you know, knowing that this was going to come to pass. And I wanted to just say something quickly out of the fall of America, because our leaders told us about what was going to happen. And he said on page 11 of the fall of America, we must unite at all costs. Once united, we must stand fully packed as a wall against injustice. And it goes on to say that he would not bow down to any, because he said that Allah is sufficient for all our needs. This is why I do not have to beg from our oppressors or march on their capital with my hat in my hand. And this is what the messenger taught us, and this is what we should believe in. So may Allah continue to help us to press on to get separation for our people. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Excellent, excellent call. Thank you for that reminder. Yeah, unity at all costs.
That's right. That's right.
And it's only going to take one display on the real display of,
right.
of unity. Not, as the brother said, this is why the youth told them to sit down. I love what he said. Don't, Brother Lewis, don't tell them to stand down. You stand down because you've
right.
had decades of opportunity
right.
to stand with Minister Farrakhan. So sit down. This is the Old Testament playing out. Moses,
that's right.
the elders of Israel, got to go,
mm-hmm.
as Chris Tucker said in Friday, and the youth say now, bye, Felicia. You know, it's just time for you to go. Move on. Okay? So
that's
we've
right.
got
right.
We've got Dr. Salam.
As-salamu
alaykum.
Alaykum salam, family. And to your beloved guest, Brother Carlos and Brother Samuel. And it was definitely good hearing from Brother Mark. Somewhere in 1995 or 96, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had a topic called the shock of the hour. Do you remember
classic.
That?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Good God.
Yes. And I look at it that then and to the time and what must be done now, and it's really the same. So there's spiritual
wow.
growth there. The brother is not going around. Our beloved minister is not going around just thinking of things to say. This is all coming through Master Farad Muhammad, through the messenger to him. He's a guided man. And these topics are elevated, kind of like an elevated place. That's why I love your show so much, sister. We're mentioning some of our older brothers, Jesse Jackson, for instance, who's washed up, but he made a very profound statement some years ago. These are his words. He said, "You are only useful when you are necessary. When you are no longer necessary, you are no longer useful." And that is what's happening to him and all the other black politicians, the preachers, the actors. And lastly, when you talk about Bill Cosby and people like him, I'll just use him as an example. They loved him in a entertainment way. But now that he's getting older, that kind of thing, they're going after him with women and money, they're removing his richness. Oprah is stagnant. They say she's a billion, worth a billion, but she's not a billionaire. You got to have $6 or $7 billion to be considered a billionaire. If Bill Gates woke up with Oprah's money one day, he'd jump off a San Francisco bridge with 1,000-pound boulders tied to his legs. That's wealth. But that's what's happening. And as far as Ferguson, Ferguson is going to be Ferguson. Ferguson is not going to change until we decide to change. And the only way we're going to do that is follow leadership that addresses freedom, justice, and equality and spiritual warfare. Thank you, family. I really enjoyed this show. And thank you, Brother Collins and Brother Sandy. As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum salam, sir. And, you know, to the point about useful and necessary, that's really the issue, Sister Pamela, Brother Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, as we close out. It's not age in and of itself, but it's being out of season with
right.
the time. And
Come on.
Was a time for protest. There was a time for compromise. There was a time for negotiation. But we are now in the fullness of time. And we have to act in accord with the time, which is dictated by Allah. And so when you're out of time and out of season, we can only say to you that you should just, as the minister has told them, in an open letter several years ago, I'm going to pull that letter out for next week, he told them to stand down because
right.
he
Ooh,
knew
yes,
that they
matter.
Were afraid. And I just want to say
That's
this
right.
As we go out. Technically, now Oprah has net assets of $3 billion, and
mm-hmm.
she is the only black person on the Forbes list. But the thing about it is, to Dr. Salam's point, it's not even enough for you to have the wealth, because they print the money.
Come
they
on.
Make the laws. You could have $20 billion and they can empty you out the next
right.
day. So you are never above and safe from their mindset as long as
That's
you
right.
follow and believe in their way. But I want to say to everyone who has called in tonight, thank you so much. And everybody that's logged in, I want to thank Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, my brilliant co-host, Brother Terrence, and Dr. Ridgely with his incredible and unique insight. Thank you, because I know both of you have so much on your mind. Thank you, Sister Rona, for your incredible work with screening that people
Thank
have
you for listening to participating in Elevated Places
so
with Dr. Ava
Muhammad.
Be sure
Saturday.
To join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.
thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new season.